In today's headlines, the Alliance of American Football, long considering itself to be a developmental league for the NFL, not going to develop no more. They suspended operations. What's that all about? And in our second headline, one new study shows that maybe active investing isn't as dead as you think it is. That's all today on Money in the Morning. Hey there, everybody. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. Welcome to the show where we take not one, but two headlines ripped from the current financial press. And not only do we read them like some podcasts do, we also dissect them. We talk about exactly what they might mean to your wallet. What does it all mean when it comes to these headlines? We don't stop there, though. We take both the headlines and we put them together into something that we call the big idea at the end of the show that you can use to go about your day. Today's episode of Money in the Morning is brought to you by Emperor Investments. Oh, I love these guys. Automated investing refined. Emperor offers 100% equity portfolios designed to earn dividends while you go enjoy your life. For 6 months, 100% free. Use our link, emperorinvest.com/MITM. You know what's funny about that is that they say 100% free. It's because if other places offer you free, it's not really 100% free, because if they're using exchange-traded funds or mutual funds on the inside, you're still paying those fees. Literally 100% free with Emperor Investments because of the way that they work. And we can talk about that a little bit later in the show. So we got a great show for you today. Two headlines. If you're a football fan, one that might make you cry. We don't want you to cry, but we do want to tell you what's going on. So Laura, why don't you help us kick this off?
Good morning. You supply the coffee. We'll bring the headlines. Here they come.
Here they come. Our first headline comes to us from Shalice Manza Young. Man, this out late yesterday. Alliance of American Football suspends operations just weeks into their inaugural season. Remember this league? Maybe you don't. If you're not a football fan, you might not know anything about it. But just after the Super Bowl happened, they debuted this brand new football league, and it was supposed to be this developmental league, and it opened up to pretty exciting ratings. Like, things were going way better than they thought that it might go. And now we're just, 8 weeks into this inaugural season and suspending operations. What's going on here? Let's find out. The piece states, the Alliance of American Football, which has played just 8 weeks of games in its inaugural season, is suspending operations. There are multiple reports from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and Daniel Kaplan of Sports Business Journal that the fledgling league is at a minimum ceasing all football operations 2 days ago, though it isn't folding entirely yet. Darren Rovell, the Action Network, reports that the decisions being made by league owner Tom Dondon over the objections of founders Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian. There's a conference call that happened on Tuesday that shed some more light on the situation. The NFL Network said an email was sent that left the door open for the league to resume, but it didn't sound too promising. There have been stories for weeks that the league quickly ran into financial trouble, and those clearly continued despite the influx of money from Dondon. Rovell wrote that Dondon's going to lose $70 million on the investment he made. The AAF had a great opening weekend back in February, playing its first ever games the Sunday after the Super Bowl and successfully piling in fans who weren't ready to go months without their favorite sport. Those ratings, though, were short-lived, and Dondon, who also owns the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes, had to step in with a major financial investment. And yet, last week, Dondon told USA Today that the league needed the help of the NFL Players Association and its permission to use NFL players. Albert Breer of the MMQB reported that the NFL Players Association was in talks with the league, but the union was surprised when Dondon went public with a plea for help. Blaming the NFL Players Association for their problems seems short-sighted at best. If the American Association of Football wanted to partner with the NFL and NFL Players Association, it should have done so before it ran into dire straits, which in this case seems like it should have happened before any games were even played. It's funny, Steve Spurrier, coach on one of the teams, longtime coach of Florida Gators, and then also of South Carolina, now in the AAF, said that it was his understanding that they had plenty of money to operate at least the full season. And in fact, the original business plan called for these guys to run the league for 3 years before they actually went to the NFL for help. And yet they go to the NFL before week number eight and then play this last week, week number eight. And now it looks like they're going bye-bye. So this is really sad to me. And what's sad to me is this, is a financial planner who just worked with individual families. You know, my first thought was, you didn't plan for this? Really? Because I think that if you're going into a brand new football league where tons of these minor league football leagues, all these crazy leagues, they fail all the time. I mean, I am 51 years old. I've seen so many of these leagues fail over and over and over. And yet, they start up a new league, and by week number eight, they're calling it quits. The sad thing about success is that it is not. Success is not what a lot of people think. In fact, you know, we've had our Stacky Benjamins podcast for well over 7 years. And what's interesting is that we've seen so many podcasts come and go. And it's funny, it took a long time for the Stacky Benjamins show to even become, if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, viable. I mean, we had to go in every day for a long, long, long time. 5.5 years, we had to go in and just keep putting out a product before things actually started looking better. In fact, I remember at the 3.5 year mark, my partner on that show, OG, looking at me across our card table and saying, "What the hell are we doing here?" Because it seemed like the show was going nowhere. It takes a long time. That's not just Stacky Benjamins. That is restaurants, it's a ton of businesses. In fact, whenever I talk to people, when they talk about business planning, you should plan how long it's going to take your business until it's viable. Then you should at least double that amount of time and probably triple that amount of time. So if we're looking at 8 weeks, what they're saying is they thought that the AAF was going to be viable in 3 weeks, or they made some huge, huge assumptions about this league that just weren't true. And you would think that when you're launching something that big, that you'd do some financial calculations ahead of time, wouldn't you? I mean, this isn't like us going out and deciding to buy a big screen TV we can't afford, or signing up for the department store credit card that we probably don't need. But hey, I get a 10% discount. It's none of that. But isn't that what it feels like? Feels like these guys just showed up and went, "Hey, let's have a football league. Bunch of people come. Oh, wait a minute. It's a brand new thing. Bunch of people like, who didn't think that this wasn't going to be tough? Who thought that this was going to be magic? It is not Field of Dreams. It is not. If you build it, they will come. And I think this is just a good lesson for all of us. If we're planning anything, let's take a look at your cash reserve, right? Cash reserve, emergency fund, whatever you want to call it. You start off with the biggest expense you've ever had. You double it. You maybe double that number again, just in case it's big time catastrophic. That should be your minimum reserve. I know people give you numbers. Dave Ramsey talks about $1,000. You know why he talks about $1,000? Because how many times have you had an emergency with more than $250, $300? Not often. And if it is that big, how many times has it been over $1,000? Not that often. So build your reserve to $1,000. And then, you know, financial planners from there say 3 to 6 months expenses. There's a better way to do this. Look at what your expenses are. Multiply that by 4. Have that number. Because I think, by the way, what your expenses are, I mean your expenses for a month, multiply that by 4, and then you're going to cover that worst case scenario. You're also going to cover then 4 months of expenses. Now, let's say that you have a job that it's tough to get reemployed in, or you're not going to get the same amount of money. Maybe you need to make it 6. Maybe you need to make it 12. But it's individual. Let's say, call me crazy, I'm starting a football league where they've all been unsuccessful, except for the NFL. Maybe arena football has been somewhat successful. But besides those, none have. So what do I do then? I think I need 3 years of reserve. 8 weeks? And the bad news about this is $70 million going bye-bye. And having to put pressure on a union, and by the way, as I read more about this, it wasn't in this original piece, but the union's in these ironclad contracts that they can't get out of. It isn't that the union doesn't want to work with them. I don't know if the union wants to work with them or not, but the sad truth is that I do know is they can't. There's nothing they can do. And now you've got people who are pushing against a brick wall that ain't going to move and going, I can't figure out why this ain't going to move. We've all known people in our life like that, don't we? People fighting against a brick wall. It's so frustrating to watch. Longer-term cash reserve, I think, is the big answer here. And the sad thing is it's not one family. I was reading reports that a lot of these players, you know, kids just out of college, paying their own trip home after being not well paid during that time, figuring out how to get home because didn't get a check to go home afterwards. Tough for this league. Let's take a second and say hi to our friends who are hanging out with us on Facebook. We do this live in front of a Facebook audience. If you want to join us, we have a lot of fun. It's facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. James is here. James says, they're not even the only league starting up. The XFL is going to start up again in 2020. I read that today, James. As if. We don't learn our lesson, do we? It's funny. That was what I read in this piece. Really? XFL's going to do it again. Now, maybe the XFL says, clearly, there is a thirst for this. Maybe there is a thirst. And you can easily point to this league and go, man, the ratings for this at first were great. Of course they went down after a while. And then you build them back up with a real fan base. I mean, at first, it's going to be people that are just curious to see what you're doing. And then you got to build it. You got to make a product that people want to come back to over and over and over again. XFL starting up in 2020. And if anybody can do it, maybe it is Vince McMahon. And James talks about that. Vince McMahon might have been listening. He sold $400 million of WWE stock to fund the XFL. $400 million. You know, it's funny. So you take the $70 million that they lost in the AAF, and you multiply that by four, right? You're looking at 280. He's going with $400 million to fund it. Now, there are probably some cost up front and got back some money. So $280 million reserve, $400 million reserve. Hopefully it's good enough. Christine is here catching her first live show. Glad you're here with us, Christine. Glenn is here. Hey, man. Victor's here. We got Kelly here, Mitchell. Great. Everybody's with us today. Let's move on to our second piece. Oh, before we do that, let's give you the official takeaway for piece number one. Plan for the worst and double it. I'd say quadruple it. Make a plan, plan for the worst, quadruple it. I think you're good. Our second piece comes to us, this piece. You thought that was awesome? Get this one. This one was wow. I read this Bruce Aaron's column from MarketWatch about 20 minutes before we were going live with this. And what's funny is that we never switch at the last minute. I mean, we Bobby and I have a set agenda, usually at least 3 hours at a time. We know what we're going to talk about. Switch this baby up right at the last second because this is good stuff. Listen to this. And this is an opinion piece. Investors' widely held beliefs about exchange-traded funds and index funds may be wrong. Low-cost funds may be fixing the wrong problem, new data suggests. I'm grinning for those of you just listening to the audio podcast because how many times have I talked about this before? I love it. I absolutely love it. Active investing, maybe not dead. Let's talk. Brett Aarons writes, a new study's just shaken one of the biggest investment myths on Main Street. An analysis of mutual fund stock trades over the past two decades has thrown into question the rationale that sent everybody and her grandmother stampeding into low-cost index and exchange-traded funds. The rationale was this. even skilled mutual fund managers can't beat the stock market indices, so there's no reason why you should pay somebody extra to try. Not true, right? Finance and accounting professors Linda Chen of University of Idaho, Wei Wang of the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, and George Jang of Washington State University, after an exhaustive study of nearly 2,000 U.S. mutual fund stock trades by months from January 1998 to March 2015. Instead, their research found substantial evidence that many skilled money managers are adept at picking stocks. Quote, mutual fund trades outperform their benchmarks, they wrote. And critically, they're good at picking the stocks that are going to beat earnings expectations ahead of time. Now, I'm going to stop reading right there. So when I read this, I mean, this is a bunch of baloney, right? I mean, if you're thinking that right now, I'm like, we've read A Random Walk Down Wall Street. Even if you haven't read it, you know this scenario if you follow money at all. And if you don't follow money, you know that person after person has said, and study after study has said, that mutual fund managers do not beat the index. And yet we have this new study that says that they do. It's like we heard that wine was heart healthy, and now last week, turns out wine is worse than smoking cigarettes. You don't know who to believe, so you do what you're going to do. Not that I'm going to go out and start smoking cigarettes, but I may still have a glass of wine once in a while. So is this just another faulty study? Because that's what I'm thinking as I'm reading this. It gets better. Let's continue. Large active trades by mutual funds, this is a quote, prior to the month of earnings announcements have significantly positive abnormal returns on the subsequent 1, 2, and 3 month horizons, they wrote. That's true even when you adjust for the major stock market factors such as value, stock size, and price momentum, they wrote. Indeed, when you measure this, they found the top 20% of funds beat the bottom 20% by a remarkable 1.27 percentage points a year. And this is important, the outperformance is even true when fund manager fees were taken into account, they added. So why doesn't this show up more in fund investors' returns? By the way, that's exactly what I was thinking. Isn't that what you were thinking? Going, wait a minute, why isn't this showing up? Why aren't we seeing this? After all, the piece continues, there's been plenty of evidence that overall fund returns don't, on average, exceed their benchmarks. The big reason lies in the words active trades. For their analysis, the researchers separated all mutual fund stock trades into two groups. One group consisted of the trades managers made simply because they had to, as a result of investors' money flows into or out of their funds. So, for example, in a hot market, the public typically invests more in stock market mutual funds, and the money managers then have to invest that money, with the result that they have to keep buying shares at higher and higher prices, regardless of what they really think is wise. The second group of stock trades, however, consists of those the managers made simply because they liked or disliked a stock. These so-called active trades had nothing to do with fund flows. Money managers may have had to liquidate other stocks in order to raise the money to double down on their bets on stocks they liked. It was these active trades, found the researchers, that drove the fund manager's outperformance. Quote, the outperformance is largely driven by large active trades, they write. In other words, mutual fund managers would do a better job if investors would just leave them alone. Instead, the public plunges into hot markets, hot funds, and hot stocks after they've outperformed, and then they sell again when they've underperformed. So money managers are forced to keep buying hot stocks even after they've risen too far, and then to sell them after they've fallen too far. When it comes to investing, we, not the Illuminati or the 1%, are our own worst enemy. I feel the angels singing here. I totally feel the angels singing. All you have to do is read a book like Stock Market Wizards. And all you have to do, by the way, is spend some time around Wall Street people. I mean, and not, by the way, mutual fund reps that go talk to people, but actually around the managers themselves. And when you spend time with the managers, this piece that I'm reading right now, this is why managers tell you that they don't outperform. It isn't them, it's you. So this myth that we can't beat a random walk down Wall Street is a myth. And I like the myth. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the myth. But going back and seeing that years and years and years of returns of not beating the market doesn't mean that they can't. It does mean that they don't. It does mean that. But it doesn't mean that they can't. Which means my theory that active investing is not dead at all, and that when we turn this over more and more to machines and algorithms, that it's just going to get better, and there's going to be better ways to do this. And also, looking at smaller funds versus the biggest funds out there, if you're going to go that route, is the way to go. Two things I've been preaching for a long time. This just sounds like a pat myself on the back, doesn't it? Yeah, Joe, way to go, pal. But I'm not. All I'm saying is it like anything, this myth is well overblown. But what's the point, right? Because we're all about the takeaway here. What's the point? Should we start investing in active funds now? Because it turns out these people really can do it. No, because they don't. And I think that is the big key here, is just because they can beat the market doesn't mean that they do. And it also doesn't mean you should try. Now you know the reason why they underperform, which also should steer you away. Unless you're somebody that gets a trader all to yourself. It's also the reason why people like Phil Town have been so successful with their training. Because if you do this type of stuff yourself, even though it can be incredibly risky, and you have to pay attention if you're going to do that, there is a way. And once again, I'm not saying that you should, because there have been plenty of people out there that have spent some time with a person like Phil Town. They do it great for 6 months, and then they totally don't pay attention anymore, and they wreck everything. Far easier to go ahead and buy the index fund. Love that, don't you? It's fantastic. Peter says, bingo. Hey, Peter, I totally agree. Mitchell says, there's always a new study. Yes, there is. It's funny, this new study, though, explains something, Mitchell, that we've been talking about for a long, long time. At least some of us have been talking about for a long, long time. So those are our two headlines in just a second. How are we going to put these together? The AAF ceasing operations on one hand, and on the other, we're talking about active funds not stinking as bad as we might have thought. We're going to get to that big idea in a second, and it's a good one. But first, I want to talk about what I promised I'd talk about later in the show, which is Emperor Investments. And I talked about Emperor Investments are free when you get those first 6 months free. The reason it's completely free is because they don't use exchange-traded funds. They don't use mutual funds. They actually use individual stocks in your portfolio. Now, you still get good diversification. Your money is separated into your own individual stocks. They even use fractional shares, but those stocks are yours. What that means is you're not buying into a fund that has a cost basis already established. Don't have a lot of time to go into that, but let's put it this way. It makes it a lot more tax efficient. You'll also then have a portfolio that is built just to your needs. So you can go about looking at your life and looking at your world and not paying attention to, you know, what's going on with all of your individual stocks. They take care of that for you. So the way they do it, by the way, dividend paying stocks, dividends that go up, and they also follow a methodology very, very close to an investor like a Warren Buffett. And if you take a look at the returns historically in Emperor Investments for other investors, if you go to Emperor Investments, excuse me, I messed that up, which is great that we do this live. So you get to hear me mess it up. Let's do that again. EmperorInvests.com. Don't go to Emperor Investments. Go to EmperorInvests.com/MITM to tell them that we sent you. And what you'll see there is you can look at back-tested returns and pretty impressive. And of course, you should always do your own research. Past returns don't mean future results, but there's a reason why we like these guys. And I've been extremely happy with Emperor Investments. EmperorInvests.com/MITM. All right, let's jump into this big idea, shall we? Because you got a day to do. So do I. This is a good one. We started off with the American Association of American Football, And then I knew I had that wrong. And then we talked about active traders. And when we look at our strategies, we look at this football league that just apparently is going bye-bye as we speak. We look at a league that clearly had a longer-term plan, 3 years, but got rid of that plan after 8 months, jettisoned their plan. And so it's interesting. I would think at some point they had a blueprint, right? When you start off with this many people being employed, this many teams, these many cities involved. I mean, think about the people from people selling popcorn to the people selling tickets to the players on the field to the coaches to the bus drivers to everybody. There's a lot of people involved here. You got a blueprint for that. You do that with your family, because who do you care about most of all? You care about your family, right? So you start building your financial house with a blueprint. And then as you're building, do something the AAF didn't do, you follow that blueprint. And it's the same, by the way, with your investment strategy. Instead of chasing returns, chasing the next thing, looking for the hot manager, we know why individual managers don't excel. And it's because people blow themselves up. People blow up their fund. They blow up their fund manager. They get in when the market's overheated. They put cash in this investor's lap. The manager's not allowed to let it sit there. They have to invest it. And they know that that's causing them a lot of grief and it's making them underperform. And at the same time, when they hand them money, their prospectus says they have to invest it. The prospectus for them, they have to follow. It's their law. So don't invest when the market's high only. Don't take money out when the market is most low. Start with a blueprint. Start with a blueprint. Follow the blueprint. And then hopefully your league gets off the ground. Your family does what it should do with its money. Your bills get paid. Your credit card debt's gone. And better yet, you can go about doing what you really want to do. Because do you really want to sit around worrying about what's happening next and how you should respond? Start with a blueprint. You don't have to worry about how to respond. And go about living your life. And I think that's our big idea. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. Thanks a ton for everybody who hung out with us today on Facebook. Fun as always, peeps. We'll see you next time back here on Money in the Morning.
This show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, hosted and produced by Bobby Rebel and Joe Saul-Sehy, is engineered by Caden Thompson, and all put together by a pack of well-trained ferrets down here in Joe's mom's basement. You'll find Bobby at the Financial Grown-Up Podcast and Joe at the Stacking Benjamin Show. Go say hi to them there, too. Online, visit us on Twitter at Average Joe Money and at Bobby Rebel, or come join a live recording at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. I know you already know this too, but Money in the Morning is for entertainment purposes only. You should not act on anything recommended by a bunch of entertainers in a basement or even a Manhattan kitchen without first consulting your financial advisor and second, dude, have your head examined. Have headlines you'd like us to discuss? Send them to joe@stackingbenjamins.com or put them on our Stacking Benjamins closed Facebook group. This show is a collaboration of Stacking Benjamins LLC and BRK Media LLC, copyright 2019, all rights reserved. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I reserve the right to always say, we'll see you next time back here on Money in the Morning.